Thank you, Dr. Kreider, musicians. Thank you, choir, for leading us today in this wonderful time of worship together. This morning, I want to ask you to join me in thinking about ways to strengthen and enhance our understanding of what it means to be community at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and Texas Baptist College. Today is the first in a semester-long series that will seek to envision the kind of virtues and values that are needed to sustain a distinctive, Christ-centered, and grace-filled community. What we seek to do each day on this campus is more than provide an educational experience for nearly 3,600 students from all around the world, as significant as that is. But we are called to serve the church about which we have sung this morning by enabling men and women to learn and think Christianly about the work of God in the world, preparing them to equip believers and to participate in the Great Commission work of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. In actualizing these priorities, we are called to be faithful, to discern, to interpret, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ as the transforming power for the world. On these things, we all agree. Yet it's likely that some are wondering why we would begin the new calendar year and a new spring semester by reciting together an ancient creed and singing For All the Saints. Probably the first time for many of you to sing that song. There is an answer to the question other than the fact that I love that multi-versed hymn. When we affirm our faith together, as we did this morning, we're acknowledging with the people for over 2,000 years that the Christian faith involves a trust in and a confession about the triune God. Unlike those who would separate faith from reason or faith from knowledge, we gladly confess on this campus the person and work of Jesus Christ as central to the very identity and mission of this academic institution. It is this confession that is at the heart of what it means to be a Christ-centered institution. Such a confessional framework points us toward an understanding of the origin of the world, its meaning, significance, and destiny. This confession tells the world a truth about itself it does not know or for which it refuses to believe. It's because Christians believe in the God who brought all things into existence and who even now is redeeming the world through Jesus Christ and renewing the world by the Holy Spirit, that the age-old idolatry of a life centered on pleasure, personal addiction, and self-absorption can be challenged at a place like Southwestern as we pursue the reality of an authentic, grace-filled, Christ-centered community. From our confessionally guided commitments, we want to think together about these important truths and then ask the Lord to make them realities in our lives here on a day-to-day basis. We want to do that this morning by asking two major questions. The first one, which should be on the screen. What do we mean when we say we believe in the communion of saints? You heard it this morning when we confessed our faith. As you read it, you probably noticed those words were in a distinctive font in that ancient creed. In the place of age-old idolatries of individualism, we gladly on this day reaffirm our commitments to the communion of saints, which at its essence points to the basic idea of sharing life together. In this learning community, we share together our confessional commitments, our institutional identity, our core values, our insights, our teaching, our exploration and research, our publications and presentations, our times of celebration, our times of joy, our times of sorrow. In fact, we share life together. This sharing is both with, among, and as we have sung this morning, for all the saints. This day we are declaring what we believe in this community, that it is a group of forgiven sinners who are called to shape and serve this grace-filled community we call Southwestern. What can be understood in our commitment to the communion of saints is that neither the Christian life, our service at Southwestern, nor preparation for ministry that is taking place here should be understood in isolated or individualistic ways. We are not designed to bowl alone, to borrow the words of Harvard sociologist Robert Putnam. This community is wide and long, stretching across social, racial, gender, demographic, and geographical lines, for Christ's followers are in Christ regardless of these differences. Somehow, by and through the writings and tradition passed on to us from those who've gone before us, including those who've served on this campus over a century or more, we participate in and with the communion of saints. A connection that lacks both geographical and temporal boundaries. Please make sure you hear that this does not mean somehow we communicate with the dead, nor does it mean that the writings of the post-apostolic saints or those beyond them are inspired like those of the prophets and the apostles. Yet it does place the Christian tradition in a privileged place on this campus. Moreover, it allows the distinctive Southwestern tradition to become a window through which we understand our calling as students, staff, faculty, in our learning, our service, and our teaching. Thus, in prioritizing and privileging the Christian tradition, we especially do so with the best of the Southwestern tradition at the forefront. One person from whom we can learn this morning as we contemplate these truths is Augustine, the dominant figure in the history of Christian thought between the time of the apostles and the 16th century Reformation. His ambitious work, The City of God, written over a 15-year period following the plundering of Rome in the 5th century, provides an exemplary guide for us of the kind of Christ-centered thinking and living that is needed for us today. This magnificent and comprehensive work, which Augustine himself called this huge book, stretches to nearly 1,000 pages in most English editions. Whether the subject is Christ, creation and the fall, human sexuality, political philosophy, history, biblical interpretation, the City of God is in many ways a Christian handbook on almost any topic of importance. This huge book provides a defense for the Christian faith to those who prefer their own gods to the founder of the City of God. This book was addressed to polytheists and critics of the Christian faith, as well as those Christians whose faith had been shaken by the attack on Rome. In this sense, that book has direct application to the confused and incoherent world of our 21st century context. The City of God serves not only as a defense of Christian beliefs, but also as a prescription for Christian community. Augustine reminds us that the loving communion of saints flows from the communion that exists within the Trinity. The holy society that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enjoy provides the model for our sense of shared community. The most characteristic feature of this shared community is that it comes together to worship the triune God, even as we have gathered to do this morning. It is for this reason that we seek to prioritize chapel services each week during the semester, because they help to define our identity, to clarify our mission, to allow us the privilege to worship together without rank, title, or office. Students, faculty, staff, administrators together, all bowing before God as forgiven sinners in need of sustaining grace. Augustine suggests that the work of Jesus Christ in providing redemption for his people has joined us in a more enduring communion than institutions or organizations of civil society are able to provide. Some have suggested that one of the most distinctive aspects of Christian thought lies in the fact that it has put forward a new and powerful idea of community, which calls men and women to a life of meaningful participation. What marks off a community like ours from other communities, according to Augustine, is that it seeks the end that is without end, seeking the supreme good, that good whereby good is brought to the final perfection and fulfillment. As we gather today to launch the 2025 spring term at Texas Baptist College and Southwestern Seminary, we do so not merely as a collection of five schools. nor merely as 4,000 individuals, including students, board members, faculty, staff, and administrators, but as a distinctive, grace-filled, Christ-centered learning community. Our vision for this community points us toward a harmonious communion of the enjoyment of God, enjoying one another in God. This vision is for community is not just a collection of individuals who have a relationship with God, but of women and men enjoying life in God, a kind of mutual and shared communion in God. The primary metaphor for the new life is that of entering into communal life, sharing in the unity of the Spirit, confessing one faith, one hope, one Lord, one God who is over all and through all. And in all. So while the five schools that make up Southwestern Seminary participate in the larger academic community across North America, which we are pleased and honored to do, we do so first and foremost as those who participate in the community of God, in the worship and service of God, enjoying life together in the triune God. One of the greatest gifts that Southwestern academic community can provide for this larger academic community of which we are a part is a glimpse, however fleeting, of another city where the angels keep eternal festival before the face of God. Thus, we joyfully confess on this day that we believe in the communion of saints. That leads us to our second question. What are the implications of this belief for the Southwestern community? I would like to suggest at least five during our time together this morning. Number one, belief in the communion of saints provides a framework for us to worship and serve together. We recognize that today we do not stand alone in the calling that is ours. Our dream for a grace-filled, Christ-centered community means that we envision a community that represents the people of God who are called to worship and serve together, to study and learn together, to enjoy colleague and friendship together in mutual communion with God. Regardless of degree program or area of study, let us set out to teach, study, research, learn together with a fresh reminder of the powerful resources that are ours within the communion of saints. When we gather to worship on the Southwestern campus, we do so not as a local church, but as a Christ-centered academic community that seeks to join with believers around the world in the praise and reverence of the one true and living God. Belief in the communion of saints provides a context for experiencing a renewed sense of belonging. That is our second idea. Peter Berger, the great Boston University sociologist, focused his life's research around three dominant sociological trends in contemporary Western culture that have influenced all aspects of society and the larger academic world in particular over the past 100 years. We previously talked about these trends of secularization, pluralization, and privatization. But today our focus is on that third trend, which describes life commitments in terms of private, personal preferences, which leave us ultimately with privatized individualism, where the individual alone is autonomous in terms of destiny and accountability. In the end, we answer to no one but ourselves. Sadly, academic contexts with their emphasis on individual research tend to promote such tendencies. To borrow once again from Robert Putnam, our society, with the aid of technology, has now reached the ultimate example of bowling alone. Almost without noticing, Putnam observes, we've been pulled apart from one another and overtaken by a treacherous rip current. He claims that we've become lost in our own self-preoccupation and that we've learned to succeed in our academic disciplines without colleagueship or relationship. Some have proposed an institutional model in which faculty and staff relate to an institution not so much out of a belonging in this context described by Putnam, but primarily through policy arrangements. Now, none of us, however, is so naive as to think that this institution or any institution can exist without policies, guidelines, and similar contractual matters. Aspects of this model are not only important, but they are essential for the world in which we find ourselves. And we are truly grateful for those who help us give attention to these important matters. These policies help us understand what to do and what not to do in our shared work. They help us understand our responsibilities, not only within this institution, but without as well, as we respond to the state of Texas, to the U.S. Department of Education, to the IRS, among others. We cannot function well without these policies and guidelines. We need to understand that though they are essential, they are not sufficient for creating the kind of community we desire at Southwestern. There seems to me to be a better model of authentic, Christ-centered institution to which we aspire and for which we pray. This model describes a community where people have a sense of belonging together and of being linked through relational and emotional ties. In such a community, people feel that they share purposeful work and promote a common life together. The quest for the experience of community and family and belonging needs to be our overarching vision for all of our efforts on this campus. We must realize the necessity and realities associated with the first model. Yet I believe we must seek to prioritize the second model with its stress on character, connections, and community. It is from this model that students, staff, and faculty develop an identity with this institution that extends beyond the campus and beyond this time period in which Southwesterners connect with other Southwesterners from generation to generation to generation. So let us work together to take the steps necessary to prioritize the importance of authentic community, creating a sense of belonging in a context of trust for all who teach, serve, and study in this place. Thirdly, belief in the communion of saints underscores the importance of trust and intentional community. As we look for opportunities to strengthen community at Southwestern, let us do so not only to increase retention, to enhance service to students, as essential as these things are for us at this particular time, but we want to do these things with an even higher purpose in mind. We want to create opportunities where we can develop friendships and relationships, ever mindful of the deeper purpose of enjoying the company of others in God, in mutual communion with God. Sociologist Stan Gady reminds us that an authentic Christ-centered community is characterized by belonging, relationships, tradition, and trust. To borrow from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this kind of community cannot exist without a shared intentionality of life together. Doing so helps us to see that the Southwestern community is bigger than any one of us individually. It is larger than the self. The Southwestern community has a meaning and a significance that transcends what any individual might bring to it. For those of us who serve at Southwestern, we want that meaning and significance, which defines the kind of community to come from knowing and serving God, the one who created this community. Thus, we seek to build a community within the context of a specific tradition that is rooted in an overarching, transcendent vision. It is a grace-filled, Christ-centered community, grounded in a common confession, shared convictions, a shared tradition that shapes how we serve the church and society while engaging the academy and the culture. Building community, choosing to be part of a community, is a most important step. But more than this, we need to recognize that we must choose to create a sense of community which ultimately exists to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His kingdom. This means that the highest motive in our search for community is the glory of our Lord. A concern for His majesty can be seen in all that we do on this campus. Therefore, merely employing Christ's followers to serve in this institution is only a basic first step. We must bring these shared commitments together with a sense of warm-hearted devotion and piety, a calling for each one of us to our task. And moreover, we must learn to think and live in accordance with the great Christian tradition that is grounded in the ideals of Scripture itself and guided by the great confessional tradition from the Apostles' Creed to the Baptist faith and message. As we heard this morning from the reading of Romans chapter 12, we pray for love, discernment, a devotion to one another that honors others, an enthusiasm for the things of God, faithfulness, hope, generosity, open-hearted hospitality. We'll seek to live in humility and harmony with others, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Fourthly, we believe in the communion of saints because it reminds us of a greater purpose for our service and for our studies. For the gifted faculty and dedicated staff who give of themselves each day in a sacrificial way across this campus on the sake of students who are called to this place to study, whether on campus or those who are watching online, we pray that we all will serve joyfully with the recognition that our efforts have meaning far beyond this campus. While we happily participate in the broader academic community as people who hold dual citizenship in both the church and the academy, in the eternal city of God, and in this day-to-day world in which we continue to live, we do so with the recognition that the goal of our work has an end without an end. This larger eternal perspective helps us find joy in our service and in our studies because we enjoy mutual communion in God. We remind ourselves of these truths, especially on those hard days when the disappointments are real and the work to which we've been called remains ever so challenging. We do so because there is a greater good that is deeply connected with the overall mission of this institution. The same is true for students in your studies, whether undergraduate or graduate students. We take hope in the fact that the good we seek in our service and in our studies is being enabled and transformed by God's Spirit toward a sanctified and redemptive fulfillment. And fifthly, belief in the communion of saints encourages us to give thanks for the Southwestern tradition that has been gifted to us, which we have received. We recognize that Southwestern is a learning community that participates in a wider communion that reaches back into the past while pointing to an eternal future. As we live and learn in this grace-filled, Christ-centered community, we do so mindful of the lofty deeds, the worthy actions, the profound sacrifices, and the authentic love for this place evidenced by so many who've gone before us. We are encouraged, strengthened, and heartened in our calling to teach, to learn, to study, to serve in the Southwestern community when we reflect on those faithful believers who have gone before us. We realize on days like today the debt we owe to all the saints who from their labors rest, to those on whose shoulders we stand, and to many through the years who counted no cost too high in their desire to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We thus pray today that our service, in whatever form it may take across this campus, will be instructive, beneficial, helpful, and supportive for those around us, for those who follow in this place in the days to come. In confessing and celebrating our faith as well as our calling to serve at Southwestern, we recognize that we are not alone, that we're part of something bigger than ourselves, something which brings joy and meaning to our calling, to our service, and to our studies. Belonging to a community like this one helps to free us from being merely a child of a particular moment. Moreover, participation in this community helps us to think beyond our location, even beyond our particular background, For within the Southwestern learning community, we are enabled and privileged to know and interact with colleagues who truly come from Earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, those from Asia and Africa, from North and South America, from Europe, the Middle East, and other regions in this country and other places all around the globe. Such experiences expand our appreciation of the depth and breadth of this genuine Christ-centered community, a community with unflinching commitments to the church's historic confessions, the pattern of Christian truth, which has been recognized and received as the orthodox teaching by Christians throughout the centuries, teaching made known to us today in a fully inspired, truthful, authoritative, and sufficient Word of God. It is our hope as we wrestle with the great ideas of history and those burning issues, those pressing issues of our day in classrooms all across this campus and online platforms as well, that these reminders from our confessional commitments and from the best of the Southwestern tradition will provide the resources and examples to encourage our faith and strengthen our service as we share significant academic and educational pursuits, even as we value the life of the mind, service from the heart, and a call to intellectual seriousness for the glory of our majestic God. Thus, this calling to invest our lives in service to God in this community with one another is a high and noble one. It calls for renewed trust in the triune God and in one another, valuing the privilege that is ours as scholars, educators, staff members, leaders, learners to live, share, serve, relate together in the context of authentic community. Such a community is one that is not only worthy of envisioning, but it is worthy of the investment of our lives, our full pursuit, our deepest commitments. Certainly, the grace of God will be needed for each and every one of us, each and every day, to work to such a lofty goal. But with hopefulness and thanksgiving to God, let us gladly join hands as we serve together in this learning community to bring honor to the name of our Lord. May God's blessings rest upon each one of you in this new semester. May His Spirit bring genuine joy and renewal in your service, in your studies, in this new semester, in the days and years to come. God's blessings upon you all.